Among the Thorns by Jennifer K. Lambert, read by Imi Hosner, Sulin Hasso, and Kishore Walker. 1. The girl, Thorn, lived at the far edge of the world, deep in the forest where the trees towered and grew bigger around than she could reach with both arms. In her simple cottage and garden, she grew up alone and isolated, but she lived a thousand lives through her sorcery. From an early age, she could lay hands on even a plain and empty brass box and read the story better than in a book. Every object she touched offered illuminating glimpses of a world, shards of images that, pieced together, created a tapestry so staggeringly large and complex that Thorn could scarcely encompass it with her mind. All she knew was that, beyond the forest, there lived many other people in beautiful crowded places called castles and citadels and cities. People with families that hugged each other and gave gifts with love. People who gave pledges of eternal affection with jewels that forever remembered those moments of intense emotion. The world also held evil. She saw those tales, too, spun out in silent imagery, soaked in violent emotions. Jealousy and hate and greed drove people to terrible crimes. She was safe at the cottage, within the thorny boundary of the rose hedge that billowed and bloomed. Summer brought the heavy honey gold blossoms, filling the air with sweet scent and the buzz of bees. But in all seasons, the black emerald canes wove an impenetrable barrier, thorns curved like blades, protecting Thorn from the terrors of the world. For a very long time, Thorn believed this was true. Her guardian, Jada, taught her how to use her magic to touch the carefully bagged treasures and describe everything she saw and felt from them. Despite the moments of love and happiness she experienced, there were also terrible things. So she believed Jada that they were lucky to live where they did, safe and sound for always. Thorn hated it when Jada would depart for a day or two or three, leaving Thorn safely inside the enchanted rose hedge where she wouldn't come to harm. She greeted her guardian's return with frantic tears and pleas to be allowed to go along the next time. But someone had to feed the chickens and milk Nessie the goat and make the cheese and butter from her milk to keep up with drying herbs and storing root vegetables for winter, to put away fruits into jars of preserves. Over time, Thorn lost her fear of being alone. She even began to look forward to the peacefulness of it, to the reprieve from worrying that she might make a mistake or reveal some fault requiring punishment and correction. And she looked forward to the stories she'd see and the trophies Jada brought back. Thorn would sit in the library at the desk she'd used since she was old enough to take lessons and record the provenance of each new treasure. Through her psychometry, she could see anyone who'd touched the object and feel their emotions of that moment. This was the remnants people left behind, an echo of their presence in the world. The most recent experiences were usually the brightest and most vivid, almost always some busy marketplace with a jumble of avarice and delight on both sides of the transaction as the objects changed hands. She could then go back in time from there, tracing each instance someone had touched the object, all the way back to images of its maker, and how that person had felt creating it. Sometimes she could go back even farther, to the mining or harvesting of its component parts. What made Thorn an especially effective psychometrist was that she could go so far back and see and feel so much. With her powerful gift for psychometry, Thorn excavated the deepest levels of an object's history, which meant her provenance revealed more than anyone else's. She'd identified several lost artifacts created by celebrated artisans, fetching Jada a pretty pile of coin, very necessary for the two of them living alone, with no support from anyone else. Left to her own devices, Thorn sometimes fell down the rabbit hole of tracing the remnants of some irrelevant component of an object. It slowed her down, becoming distracted by some side note of history, and Jada detested dallying. But Thorn couldn't help being drawn in by the stories she saw, like those images of an exotic land made entirely of sand, where a jewel had been mined, or the surprising and horrifying twist when a bit